Well, here we are. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Elena.
Hi.
Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
Another episode of 27 Minutes.
Yeah, it's been a few minutes since we did one.
Hey, right,
Good to be
exactly.
back on the Zoom.
And a ton of things have been happening. I mean, this is such a news-rich environment. I cannot believe it. And one of the things that happened, sort of where you and I do a lot of networking and activity and meetings, is in Langford, Juan de Fuca, and a by-election was called for June 24th. And we have the BC United candidate, Elena Lawson, joining us today. So great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely.
You think we would have been on this more because it's been an incredibly interesting political 6 months or a year. We have a premier that nobody actually elected to be the premier. We've had massive overturns in municipal government. We got all sorts of stuff coming on, and we got new ridings that aren't quite ready yet. So we're dropping the writ on by-elections before those get redrawn. It's certainly the Wild West of politics still in British Columbia. And so we're excited to have Alina here. And Alina, I think, why don't we start? Tell us a little bit about yourself. Yeah, I'm a mom of two young boys, William and Marcus. I grew up, I've always been an island girl. I've never left. I grew up in Esquimalt, and now I'm in Machozen, just at the Langford Machozen border. But our lives are in Langford, and I just kind of got tired of families like mine being ignored. So I decided to step up to the plate and put my name forward for this by-election. That's awesome. I always love hearing stories about candidates that are doing it for a reason, as opposed to I'm going to make a career out of being a bureaucrat and not really put forth any passion in specific areas because it's brought through change. And I think that's really part of your story. So maybe you can share with us and share with all the viewers, why are you running in this by-election? Yeah, so before I've said this, I was never a political person before this. I was in the private sector, and then I spent the last decade working actually for the provincial government. And in October of 2021, the MCFD and the minister of that ministry decided to slash individual autism funding. So my oldest son William is autistic, and this individual funding has made a world of difference for him, and I know it's made a world of difference for thousands of children throughout BC. So we received the changes through email one day at 4:30. I'll never forget that day. And it was pretty much, there was no consultation. It was, this is how it's going to be. Your child will go into a family connection center. Funding is gone. You have no choice. So I couldn't stand for it. I had to fight back, and I met a whole bunch of amazing parents and service providers, and we fought really hard for a year and a half to get this stopped. In November of last year, the premier paused it, and to me, I don't feel that that pause is going to be permanent. I think it's a way for, I think it's to get some votes and shut the parents up, to be honest. And I think after the next general election, we're going to see them ramp it up again. I mean, the very literal definition of pause is that it's going to be resumed. So yeah, I think you're Well, right. And even given the timing of that in November is certainly suspect.
yeah,
Yes.
and they talked, there's going to be greater consultation, there's going to be interim supports for the other disability groups, and the children within those groups, but we haven't seen it. So no consultation has really been taking place. They talk about it, but nothing has actually come forward. I've said before, it's not hard to put a consultation framework up on the MCFD website to show when parents would be engaged, or service providers, so we know the timeline, but that hasn't even happened. So all these promises that were made in the November announcement, we're now in June, and we're still waiting.
I'm definitely no expert on autism, but I from what I understand is people who are on the spectrum, change is not a good thing once you're in that kind of groove of how things are working in that.
Yeah, it's a really good question, Kelly. It really is, because transition and change is really hard for children on the spectrum. So the spectrum is huge. So no one autistic child or person is the same. Like, there's the term, you've met one autistic child, you've met one. So this hub version that the government was pushing through was this one size fits all. And that doesn't work. You know, with this going through, we were going to see regression and possible self-harm in some of these children. They are very routine based. You mess with their routine and their whole day can be potentially ruined because of it.
You know, Elena, on 27 minutes, we really like to focus on sort of more of the personal side of somebody's either business or or what they're doing or what, you know, how they're involved in the community. And so I'm going to really switch things up a bit and ask you about not necessarily here the big policy questions that the BC United and you stand for on housing, transportation, health, drugs, and we can find all that stuff somewhere. And likely before the 24th, you're going to talk a lot about those things. And, you know, the voters will have an opportunity to know where you stand. So let's turn the tables here and more focus on your strengths, your personality strengths that lend themselves to representing people for this constituency. And that's hard to do, you know. I'm good at this, I'm good at that. So I'm kind of putting you on the spot, my apologies. But how about if we try for three things?
Okay. I would say I'm persistent. You know, during the advocacy, I didn't let it go. It was a 24/7 thing. I wrote emails. I was very active on social media. If I didn't get the answers that I wanted, or I felt that they were scripted and cold, I fired back. And I think that's really, really important to have as an elected representative. Like, you need someone to be able to question the government as to what's happening and be able to hold their feet to the fire. And that's my plan. I'm compassionate. I think it's very important that our community is heard and their issues are not ignored. I'm also family focused. So my life is my family. It always has been. I have a big family. I've got my two boys and my husband. You know, everything I do is for them as well. So
I think you're going to make an extraordinary MLA. And based on those human qualities, I would vote for you. I don't live in the riding, but I think those are the reasons and the qualities a person needs to represent a lot of people and their interests on a government/political stage.
Thank you.
I do live in the riding. And like I said earlier, I mean, to have somebody in the ledge that is there because they're trying to actually make a difference, not manage the status quo, is that's what we need. That we need more people like Alina, more people like that representing us.
Thank you.
So Alina, if you could say one thing, if we had all the voters of Langford, Juan de Fuca standing here on Zoom, standing here, watching on Zoom, waiting to hear, what is that one thing? What is that one thing that if you could say to them, what would it be?
It's time for a change. It's time for our voices to be finally heard again. Mm-hmm. And I'm that person. Like, let's get into the BC legislature. Let's make some positive changes. And like I said, keep this government accountable for what they're doing.
Fantastic.
That's a great message. Really appreciate that you came on board with 27 minutes here. We're gonna make sure that we are able to share this message amongst the digital universe as it is. Mm-hmm. And best of luck with all your
Thank
door
you.
Knocking and yes. Shaking hands and debates and mm-hmm. all these things, and make sure all those who are listening to that live in the riding to vote on June 24th. Thank you, Elena, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.